Welcome to episode 73 of Two Larrys and a Mic. I'm Larry Doughty.
And I'm Larry Bly. I've been cleaning out some stuff at home. I'm getting rid of a bunch of stuff, sold all my records, did a bunch. And I found my Mr. Microphone. Doesn't that sound wonderful?
That's beautiful.
And so yeah. I thought, well, you know what? It's been under a bed for about 10 years. So I've resurrected it.
You know, there was a time we pay big bucks for that effect.
For cheap. That was called reverb. A lot of radio stations had it. You ever listen to old air checks? A lot of those stations, man, they overdid it, I think.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
K92 never had any, did they?
No, but Star Country has it to this day.
Do they really?
Yeah, and it's okay until you try to talk with no music underneath you.
Yeah.
And it can be a little distracting.
Yeah, yeah. So I worked at FBS in Spring Lake, North Carolina. We had to do our own news. We were non-network affiliated, mm-hmm. So top of the hour, you had to do your own news. And it sounded like... Between that and the compression,
yeah,
it sounded like you were in a big cave somewhere. Yeah, and if you breathe, it almost sucked your brains out of your ears. I mean, it was awful. So
well,
anyway,
and one of the other things, it gives a little extra punch to the music.
Oh, okay. Well, if they wanted that punch, don't you think they would have put that in there?
Well, I would think so, but sometimes you have to help the record companies a little bit because they don't do what they're supposed to do.
So who's missing here?
Mike?
Mike. Oh, yes, Mike. Well, he's studying to be a chimney sweep. Not that there's a huge call for it, by the way, these days, but he recently saw the movie, and he thought he liked the Dick Van Dyke character, so he sings Chim Chim Cheree a great deal while sweeping the chimneys. He'll also sweep your sidewalk, but no singing is involved.
That's what he's up to. I hope this job venture works out for Mike.
Thank heavens he didn't want to sing supercalifragilisticexpialidocious because I can't sing.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Well, this is episode 73. We're going to be doing songs about the weather.
Wow.
And I feel like I've seen enough weather lately to last a lifetime.
He certainly has. It's been right oppressive.
Very oppressive. So we'll get to that in just a little bit. You want to tackle some birthdays?
Oh, sure. Let's do that. Singer Gloria Gaynor is 80 years old. Can you believe that? Singer Pink turns 44. I like Pink. Is she still performing? I guess she is, yes. Singer Michael Bublé turns 47. Actor Adam Sandler, 57. Singer Dee Dee Sharp, who isn't as sharp as she used to be, is 78. Guitarist John McPhee of the Doobie Brothers, 73. Musician producer Dave Stewart of Eurythmics is 71. And actor Charles Esten Nashville is 58.
I love his stuff. Mm-hmm. Jose Feliciano turned 78 recently. Joe Perry, 73. Danny Hutton of Three Dog Night, 81. Harry Connick Jr., 56. I still love his stuff.
I like his stuff, but boy, you know, his syndicated show just fell flat.
It didn't last but about a year, I think. Jennifer Hudson, 42. Kelsey Ballerini is 30. Also, Jerry Beckley of America, 71. Ruben Studdard. He keeps having a career.
He does.
From American Idol fame, 45.
Well, he made a career out of losing weight for one thing.
Well, that's true.
Lost about 200 pounds.
Yeah.
Randy Jones, Cowboy of the Village People. I thought for some reason he was the electrician. Is 71. Singer Peter Cetera turned 79. Singer David Clayton Thomas of BS&T is 82. What in the heck ever happened to Blood, Sweat, and Tears?
I don't. Have you ever seen that movie yet? That's
never managed,
floating around.
It's a documentary.
Okay.
Guitarist Joe Don Rooney of Rascal Flatts is 48, and singer Fiona Apple is 46.
Singer actor Joey Heatherton, 79. Richard Marx turned 60 recently. Nick Jonas, 31. Betty Kelly of Martha and the Vandellas. 79.
We used to call them Martha Reeves and the VDs. That's what we called them.
I love it.
Uh-huh.
Drummer Kenny Jones of Small Faces and The Who, 75. David Bellamy of the Bellamy Brothers, 73. Mark Anthony, 55.
Singer turned photographer Lamont L'Amour of the Fifth Dimension is 88, and singer B.B. Winans is 61. Singer-actor Frankie Avalon's 83. I saw the other day that he just sold his mansion in Hollywood for $10.5 million.
Whoa.
Like that. So if you need some money, you can hit him up.
Well, there you go.
Definitely got it.
Trisha Yearwood turned 59. Bill Medley of the Righteous Brothers, 83. Sylvia Tyson of Ian and Sylvia, 83. Paul Williams, 83.
Paul showed up in a new movie the other night. He's still doing it.
Well,
you know, I think he's ahead of BMI ASCAP or one of those.
Okay.
I think so. And he's also still acting again. And he's great. He's always been great at acting.
Funny fella.
He played a midget.
Yep. Yes, he did. Frida Payne, 81. Faith Hill of Yellowstone. And, of course, music fame and Mrs. Tim McGraw, 56, Tony Basil, 80, Sherry Belafonte, 69.
I always like to use a little basil in my Italian cooking, don't you?
Yes. Joan Jett, 65, Bruce Springsteen, 74, and Julio Iglesias, 80. Did I miss anybody?
No, I couldn't imagine it's gone on for 15 minutes. No, you know, Springsteen has had to put his concerts on pause again. He is having some real health problems.
Really?
Okay. He really is. Okay. He's, he's had the COVID a couple of times, and he's got back problems, and his sacroiliac ain't working too good, and I don't know what else is wrong with him. So what else we got?
We got some musical history makers.
Oh, boy.
Led Zeppelin scored their 8th UK number one album when In Through the Outdoor.
1979.
Yeah, went to the top of the charts. Yeah.
The Doors were banned from the Ed Sullivan Show after Jim Morrison broke his agreement with the show's producers.
Yeah.
Morrison said before the performance that he would not sing the words, "Girl, We Couldn't Get Much Higher," from Light My Fire. But he did it anyway. 1967.
Jim Morrison pretty much did it his way.
He was a bad boy.
Bad boy. Neil Young released After the Gold Rush, still a great album. That was.
Oh, you think so?
Okay, here we go. That was September of 1970.
I'm going to make this boy come around. Oh, there goes Blue Puss. Look, he's going up the steps.
Hey, Blue.
He's looking for a mouse.
Wow.
He killed a squirrel, by the way. I found that this morning. Oh, yes.
Okay.
Brutalized a squirrel. Neil Young released After the Gold Rush. Oh, you just said that. The Who scored their first only UK number one album with Who's Next. What a great album in 1971.
Yeah.
46 years ago, Steely Dan released the album Aja, which is a great album. To this day, I play it.
September of 1982, Prince released 1999 as the first single from that album. 54 years ago, September 1969, the Beatles released this album called Abbey Road.
I think I've heard of it.
You've heard of it?
Mm-hmm.
And I just got back from cruise in Alaska.
Oh, you don't have to brag about
one
it.
One of the entertainment groups on the ship, the Norwegian Bliss, was a group called the Beatles Experience.
Mm. You sent me pictures of it, and it looked, their costumes are really neat.
And they're from Argentina.
How about that? That doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't make any sense.
I didn't even know.
But they sounded fantastic.
I didn't even know they had record players.
And they were just as popular as ever on the ship.
Well, of course. Yeah.
Glad
you liked the show. It did look good.
It was a great show.
Thanks, by the way, for sending all those pictures.
Oh, not. Yeah. Have you gotten through them yet?
Well, you know, you downloaded, in addition to my phone, you downloaded them on my computer. And yeah, I went through them. I went through every daggone one of them.
But I have to admit, I really liked Jersey Boys.
Yeah.
I had never seen that before.
I've seen it.
So I really, really like that.
I've seen both the movie. You ought to see the movie sometime.
Oh, I bet it's good, too.
The movie is really good. In fact, I never saw it on Broadway, but I saw the off-Broadway version of it, and then I saw the movie version of it. And then, of course, I have the soundtrack to it.
Okay.
Then I have the original soundtrack, which is called The Four Seasons, Greatest Hits.
There you go.
The only thing I didn't like about Jersey Boys is, to move the storyline along, they used a lot of music that was not the Four Seasons.
Yeah, and I commented that in the production, I think My Eyes Adored You, they put it way early with Four Seasons.
Yeah. And that was actually one of their letters.
That was a solo
Would
thing.
You tell me five things about Sheryl Crow that I didn't know?
Well, I will do my darndest. Five things about Sheryl Crow.
Yeah.
She was a backup singer for Michael Jackson.
Oh, my.
And also sang backup on Don Henley's Last Worthless Evening. She feels that Woodstock 94, which probably few people remember because, you know, they were trying to recreate the original from 69, put her on the musical map. She dated Eric Clapton. Didn't work out. She feels my favorite mistake is her You're So Vain. And Mudslide Slim.
What do you just say?
She feels her song, My Favorite Mistake, was her You're So Vain.
Oh, okay. All right, now I get it.
And Mudslide Slim from James Taylor, mm-hmm. Tapestry from Carole King, were her favorite albums growing up.
Well, what's to argue about that? I liked them, too.
I can't argue about it.
Liked them a lot, too.
Yep.
So, we're going to do songs about the weather now? Is that what we're talking about?
If we must. Think about it. When it comes to songs about the weather, it could be sunny, cloudy, rainy, windy, stormy.
Floozy. One of my favorite group names that didn't make it ever, didn't pan out, was Partly Cloudy with a Chance of Rain. Rainy days and Mondays always get me down, the Carpenters. That's the most famous one of them all, probably.
That's a great song.
Sunny Days, Lighthouse. Sunshine on My Shoulders Makes Me Happy, John Denver.
Mm-hmm.
It Never Rains in Southern California, Albert Hammond. Big, big song.
Has that song ever gotten old? I don't think so.
It never has. Have You Ever Seen the Rain? CCR, what a great one. You take it from there.
Mm-hmm. Sunny Afternoon from the Kinks.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, that was not one of their biggest songs, but it's a great song. Reached number 14 in August of 66, and they wouldn't have released another charting single for four more years. And what would come next? Lola.
Oh, yeah. Big song.
Let's see. What else we got?
Walking in the Rain with the One I Love. The Love Unlimited Orchestra.
I love that. Anytime you got Barry White involved.
Oh, yeah. Rain by the Beatles.
Great song.
Don't You Want to Rain Dance, Rain Dance, Rain Dance.
I never understood that song from the Guess Who. But
strange song. Mm-hmm. Guess Who. Yep. Rain on the Roof, Love and Spoonful.
Yep.
And Rain, Rain, Go Away, Bobby Vinton.
How about The Rain, The Park, and Other Things?
Mm-hmm.
From the Cowsills.
Yeah.
Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head, B.J. Thompson. Was that the one where B.J. recorded it and he had a cold
or something?
And
yeah, Burt Bacharach called him.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine Burt Bacharach calling you and saying, Larry Dowdy, I need for you to sing this song. It's going to be the title song for the movie, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Right.
And he said, I can't come down to record it because I have a terrible head cold.
Mm-hmm.
And Burt Bacharach says, no, you will come down and record it. And he says, I didn't know it was going to be a big hit. Didn't know it was going to be anything. So he said, I thought, well, what's it matter? I'll go down with my snotty nose and coughing, and I'll make my way through the song. And it turned out to be a huge hit, of course.
Yeah.
Which was, by the way, was not used in the movie. A different version was used in the movie, but not B.J. Thomas's version.
So going forward, B.J. could only perform that when he had a head cold.
That's right. He'd say, I can't perform this tonight because I've just gotten over a cold.
I'm feeling great.
I've just gotten over a cold. Rainy Day People, Gordon Lightfoot, pretty song.
Yeah.
Rainy Day Women, 12 and 35. I don't know what happened to 10 and 36.
Well, and I never understood what those numbers were supposed to mean.
I think it's funny it says Bobby Dylan. I don't think I've ever called him Bobby Dylan.
Well, Dylan had only two hits,
mm-hmm.
Like a Rolling Stone and Rainy Day Women. What was the other one?
How about It's a Rainy Night in Georgia? Brooke Benton, what a pretty song. That was his last big hit, by the way. I played that
song
in Korea on the American Forces Korea Network, making everybody, including Kim Il-sung of North Korea, very happy. Walking in the Rain with the One I Love, the Ronettes, and also the Jan Americans did it. Ain't No Sunshine, Bill Withers.
Great song. Very short song.
Well, it was. I Can See Clearly Now. Now, wait a minute. There's nothing in that title that has anything to do with weather at all.
Clearly.
Clearly. Johnny Nash. Little stretch, folks. We always have a little stretch here and there. Ain't no sunshine.
Sun ain't going to shine anymore.
That's what I was trying to
say.
Walker Brothers. Sundown, early morning rain, Gordon Lightfoot. He did a lot of weather-related
ones. He really did.
Yeah.
I guess one of the big weather-related songs, Sunny, Bobby Hebb.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Great song.
Yeah.
Sunset Grill. Do you remember that?
Nope.
Don Henley, great song, but it couldn't compare to like Leather and Lace, Dirty Laundry, Boys of Summer, All She Wants to Do is Dance. Sunset Grill would only make it to number 22, and that was September of 85.
Well, it was competing with an awful lot of great stuff back then.
Really
not
was.
That it wasn't great.
Mid-80s had some good music.
Sunshine, Lollipops, and Rainbows by Gorio Leslie. Leslie Gore, ladies and gentlemen. Sunshine, You Love Cream. Mm-hmm. Sunshine, Superman, Donovan. I love that song. You Are the Sunshine of My Life. Stevie Wonder.
Another great song. Yeah. Don't forget about Sunshine, Jonathan Edwards. Think about two of the biggest weather-related songs, Sunny, Bobby Hebb.
Mm-hmm.
Three. Ain't No Sunshine. And this one from Jonathan Edwards. They were all under about 3 minutes, I think.
And they all regarded not bad weather.
Well, that's true.
Sunny weather.
That's true.
We always like sunny weather.
Garth Brooks, Thunder Rolls, Lightning Strikes.
Well, here's one that's reaching way back. Good heavens. Gene Kelly, Singing in the Rain from a movie of the same name. That dance number is the most spectacular thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah,
it really
indeed,
is.
Indeed.
It's Raining Men. I don't remember it by the Weather Girls. I thought there was a disco version of it.
Yeah, well, they
was
they
that
did.
The original disco?
Yeah, they
oh, I didn't know
they
that.
Knocked it out of the park.
Okay.
Fool in the Rain from Led Zeppelin.
Mm.
Hard Rain's Gonna Fall. I do not remember that from Dylan.
I do, strangely enough. Good Day Sunshine, the Beatles.
Mm-hmm.
Riders on the Storm, the Doors. Mm-hmm. Here Comes the Rain again, the Eurythmics. Who'll Stop the Rain, CCR. Dust in the Wind. Well, there's wind. Kansas. Dust, not so much. Purple Rain, Prince and the Revolution. Walking on Sunshine, Katrina and the Waves. I love that song. Never got tired of that one.
How about Aquarius?
How about it?
Let the Sun Shine In.
Mostly sun songs, don't you think?
Yeah, pretty much.
Then there's Candle in the Wind, Elton John.
Yep.
Here Comes the Sun, Beatles, and also Richie Havens did a wonderful version of it at Woodstock. Recorded and was a big hit for him. He didn't have a lot of big hits, but that was a good one.
That really was.
He called me up one day when he was in Roanoke, Virginia. He was going to be at the thing out on Brambleton Avenue. Coffee pot.
Okay.
Yeah. And he said, I'm sitting around my room. They told me I should call you. And I said, well, great. I'll come right over if you got some liquor and some food. No. I'm calling you because I thought you might want to interview me, and I did. He was so sweet, so wonderful. You know how he started out?
No.
Writing jingles.
Truly?
Yes. Writing jingles.
I never knew that.
Fire and Rain, that takes care of a lot of stuff. James Taylor. Thunder Road, Bruce Springsteen. And Blowing in the Wind, Bob Dylan.
How about Riding the Storm Out? REO Speedwagon.
Yeah.
One of my favorite songs of all time. Lou Christie, Lightning Strikes.
Oh, really?
How
about that?
I've always loved that
song. It's one of mine, too. I like it an awful lot. Ride Like the Wind, Christopher Cross. What a big one that was. The Wayward Wind by Patsy Cline and the Jordanaires.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow. She didn't have the big version of it.
Patsy Cline didn't?
No, she did not.
Who had that? I wonder.
I'm going to have to look it up.
Okay.
Gogie somebody. Gogie Grant.
I think you're right.
Where did I pull that one from? Don't even look.
The gray matter.
Don't look. You don't know where I pulled it from. The Rain Song, Led Zeppelin. Blue Eyes, Crying in the Rain, Willie Nelson.
Mm-hmm. The Wind Beneath My Wings, Bette Midler. Stormy from the Classics 4. Little Big Town and Tornado. I always liked Mr. Blue Sky from ELO, but it was not one of their biggest songs.
They had so many, though.
They really did.
But it was a great song. No two ways about it. Save It for a Rainy Day, Stephen Bishop. I always loved Stephen Bishop.
Great song.
Yeah.
Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me, Elton John.
Mm-hmm.
She's Like the Wind, Patrick Swayze, and his big hit from Dirty Dancing in 88. Mandolin Rain from Bruce Hornsby and the Rain. Second single from Hornsby. Of course, he was raised in Williamsburg. And it would only make it to number 4. So there you go. There's some weather-related songs.
Well, I think we'd do a pop quiz. Do you think so? We'd do a pop quiz? I think we will. There's the old popper going on right there. The pop quiz, ladies and gentlemen. Larry, and you won't win anything. You just get to look at me. What is the only band to have every member write a number one hit? Every band member wrote a number one hit for this group.
Beatles.
No. Not that I know of.
Well, they probably wrote hits, but I don't know if all of them were number one.
That would be Queen, the group. Brian May wrote We Will Rock You.
Okay.
John Deacon wrote Another One Bites the Dust.
Okay.
Roger Taylor wrote Radio Gaga. And Freddie Mercury wrote Bohemian Rhapsody. By the way, the very piano that he played on that song was just auctioned off for a little over $1 million.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Radio Gaga, I did not get.
Well.
But it's grown on me over the years.
Well, it obviously had an effect on Lady Gaga, or she wouldn't have a name. Although I understand.
Now, we don't know that for a fact.
Well, we understand. Oh, no, she's actually said that's where she got the name. Right. We do know that for a fact. But the problem is now she's decided, now she's gotten terribly wealthy and doesn't have to do much of anything anymore. She's not sure she's going to do that anymore. The Gaga.
She's not going to be a Gaga.
She's going to be Lady Goo Goo or something. Goo Goo Clusters.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, podcast news. This just into the podcast newsroom.
Yeah.
Oscar Mayer has announced that the Frankmobile is no more. It's back to being the Wiener Mobile once again, ladies and gentlemen, because it got terribly negative response. It really did. It got terribly negative response.
That was a great call.
I think
on
so.
On the part of Oscar Mayer. Why did you want to change the name to begin with?
Well, it says it's after negative response, the name Frankmobile received, they've decided to go back to what worked originally. I guess you could say the new name just didn't cut the mustard. Saw that one coming. And by the way, I never had to read a live commercial about hot dogs.
Yeah.
But apparently the guys at WLS often did because of the tie-in with the Cubs baseball.
Everybody loves this mild yet tasty all-meat wiener. It's number one at Wrigley Field, number one at summer picnics. Gosh, it's just a swell wiener. It's fun to put it in your mouth and bite down on it. And number one at the tables of Chicago. Will they make it? Can Oscar Mayer come up with enough all-meat wieners to satisfy Chicago? Yeah, man.
A swell wiener.
A swell wiener.
Okay,
another podcast news. Jan Wenner, founder of the Rolling Stone magazine.
Yes.
His son now runs it strictly online these days.
Okay.
Still making news, though. I mean, they still break a lot of stories.
Well, that's true.
They're going right. Jan has been fired and taken off the board of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which he co-founded and built along with Ahmet Ertegun, owner of Atlantic Records, New York. He was fired from the board recently after saying in an interview that his new book, which just came out, only features white male performers. Well, we're in trouble right there.
Oh, boy.
Because black and women artists slash singers weren't as articulate as white stars. His new book, called The Masters, features chapters on Lennon, Jagger, Townsend, Springsteen, and Bono. All white male singer slash songwriter slash artist. He has since apologized, but it just shows that sometime after a point in life, you should just shut your mouth.
Yeah, you're right.
Fired from the very organization that he started.
Wow. The Rolling Stones have a new album coming out. It's entitled Hackney Diamonds.
I understand it's great.
It has been 18 years since they released something with new material. First song from the album is called Angry, classic Stones, but it's minus Charlie Watts.
Don't they have a lot of other artists joining them on this?
There's actually the Stones doing a duet with Lady, whatever she is.
Goo Goo Gaga.
Goo Goo Gaga. And that's called Sweet Sounds of Heaven. The release date for the album is October 20th.
Isn't McCartney on that? Maybe not. Isn't he on everything?
I don't know. Well, he could be.
He's on everything.
You know, if Paul called and said, hey, I want to come on the podcast.
He'd be
okay,
on.
Come on.
Sure.
Yeah, sure.
He'll accept the same paltry sum that we get for doing this, which is nothing. Nothing. We even have to buy each other lunch.
Well, that's true. That's true. And by the way, a lot of folks are talking about the Atlanta Rhythm Section at Harvester recently. Did you go see that?
No.
We were out of town. I hear it was excellent. There's also a big buzz going around about Lady Supreme, a Diana Ross experience, which is coming up on October 13th at Harvest.
She is getting fabulous reviews on this. Mm-hmm. She really is. And her hair keeps getting bigger. Some more podcast news, ladies and gentlemen, just pouring in here left and right. Steve Tyler, 75, of Aerosmith.
Wow.
Has had further health issues, this time severe vocal cord injury. So Aerosmith has announced that they're delaying or postponing altogether the fall tour called Peace Out, the Farewell Tour. Sounds like it may be just these guys getting a little long in the tooth to be doing this stuff. I mean, Ringo Starr fell on stage the other day and hurt himself.
Oh, gosh.
At the end of a concert, right at the end of a concert.
Yeah.
One more thing, the Oak Ridge Boys mm-hmm. have announced their farewell tour. Everybody's having a farewell tour. I'm thinking of having one. The current group with that name has been making music together for 5 decades
wow.
now. But William Lee Golden, the mm-hmm. oldest, is mm-hmm. now 84, and the youngest member is 75. When asked to comment on this farewell tour news, their old friend Elvira said, "Oompa pa 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 mau mau." That's what she said. That's all she had to say.
We got some obits to get to?
Jeff Hunt, longtime radio guy here in Roanoke, mm-hmm. has passed away after a long struggle with health issues for the last year or so. Jeff was a huge fan of this podcast, and he often gave me ideas to pursue his topics. I mean, he was really enthusiastic about what we did. Jeff came here to Roanoke in the early 70s, uh-huh. about the same time I did, worked for a good music station, WPVR, Peaver, FM, and then also worked for WRFT-TV 27 in 1972.
Mm-hmm.
And his last radio gig was doing weekends and fill-ins on WVTF Public Radio.
Oh, wow.
It's been a while since he did that, but he did work for WRFT. Here's a commercial from
WRFT is the place to be tonight. If you're in the Mancini generation, your show is on tonight at 7 on Channel 27, the Mancini generation. Then Johnny Mann will stand up and cheer
in for that.
It's Sunday night, and WRFT is the place to be.
You know who else was there? Adrian Cronauer, Mr. Good Morning Vietnam, was the manager there for a while, and he's the one that hired Jeff Hunt to come over there from, I think, from PVR.
PVR? Oh,
yeah,
okay.
I think so.
All right.
And in fact, he interviewed me on WRFT one afternoon, and I don't think one person saw it except the two of us. It was just him and me, and they didn't even have a cameraman.
Oh, my.
They locked the camera. Of course, now they do that all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
They locked the camera down and would say, "Don't move. Sit there, and you can move your mouth, but don't move." And we did the entire interview that way.
I've got Catherine Anderson Schaffner.
No.
Founding member of the Marvelettes. Ooh. She passed away at 79 in the 60s. Of course, the Marvelettes had hits such as "Please, Mr. Postman," along with the Carpenters, which they made that hit as well, and "Don't Mess with Bill," and "The Hunter Gets Captured by the Game."
That was a great song. And by the way, I'll tell you a quick story, radio story. Mm-hmm. I guess I wasn't going to tell you one, but when that song came in, was first released, and came in to WHBG,
uh-huh.
I was always grabbing the new stuff and putting it right on the air.
Sure.
Everybody else was so mad at me. But I'd listen to the big AM radio stations at night, you know, the 50-kilowatt stations out of New York and Chicago and Boston and Cleveland and all over. So I knew what the new, really new songs were.
Sure.
And we got them pretty fast at the station. It took them forever to get it on the air, because it had to get into the top 40 before they played. Well, I said, "Bag that stuff." So the song was "Don't Mess with Bill." And I played it, and I said, and plus I'd heard it on radio, and I liked it. And I said, I need to get this on the air. And they went, "You know what? My general manager's name is Bill Kramer, and I'm afraid if I play this, he's going to take it personally." So I wouldn't play the record until it got into the top 40. Isn't that stupid? I'm sure he wouldn't have cared one way or the other. And by the way, I'm sure he didn't even listen to the station. Here's one last one, a death. Roger Whittaker has died at the age of 87. What a great voice he had.
Mm-hmm.
He was a British. I always thought he was Canadian. But he was a British singer-songwriter of note who had a huge hit in America in 1975 with a song called, you remember what it was? It
really, The Last Farewell.
The Last Farewell, which was not, well, I guess he did sing some of it, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he did. About a guy sailing off into the distance for the last time.
Mm-hmm.
It made it into the top 20 Billboard charts. He also famously wrote and originally recorded The Wind Beneath My Wings. Did you know that?
No,
we mentioned that a few minutes ago with Bette Miller.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he wrote it. Roger.
I was not aware of that.
Whitaker. Well, you can't. Huh. Yeah, you know it now.
Well.
Bucko.
Oh.
I have one more death.
Oh.
It's just death all over. Larry Chance. I've never heard of this guy. But anyway, he was the lead singer of a group called The Earls. The Earls, a doo-wop group, had one big hit called Remember Then in 1962. Remember Then? They were an all-white group but sounded quite soulful with that song. I never knew that they were a white group. But anyway, he's Larry Chance, lead singer, has passed away.
Oh, wow. Are we out of stuff?
Stuff, yeah, we're out of stuff, you know.
And we certainly don't want the battery to go down on the Mr. Microphone.
I know, but it's a good thing, too, because I'm having problems seeing you, not because of the bad weather, but because of the bubbles in the air.
Turn off the bubble machine.
Somebody's left the bubble machine running again.
Thank you, Lemon Sister, for that lovely number.
So anyway.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to episode 73 of Two Larrys and a Mic. If you like this episode, hit the subscribe button so you'll be notified of our new episodes. You can find Two Larrys and a Mic wherever you get your podcasts, and be sure to share the podcast with someone by clicking on the share button. We're going to see you next time for Two Larrys and a Mic. I'm Larry Doughty.
And I'm Larry Blind. It seems like the batteries are still good on the Mr. Microphone.
Oh, joy. Yeah. Hey, Mike?
Mike is, he wants to be a chimney sweep. I think he's, I don't know. Sounds like a rough thing. Chim, chim, chiree. Damn.